This is ESPN 1000, WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Thank you for calling, listening, and participating in today's show. Shout out to all the Twitchers for being in the chat. Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go. The Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Big thanks to Bleck and Abdallah, as always, Boys Around, for a full ride tonight and tomorrow with no baseball, 6 to 8 after Waddle and Sylvie. And the guys are in here now for Crosstalk. They will get you home today. They're going to stop by Spears tonight in Wheeling for Whiskey U.
And you guys, I'm not stopping by.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, no, no. I mean, it's not a stop by. It's a, I'm attending.
Well, you're attending.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm taking the kids.
Drink some whiskey?
Well, I don't know about that. We're going to have some dinner
sip,
there.
A little sip.
Yeah, maybe a little sip.
You can have a little sip. I mean, come on.
Want those kids to go to sleep early tonight, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you don't give the
them
kids
a little bit.
Little sip,
give them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking the full proof.
Oh, the gums. What did your mom and dad used to do for you, Carm, when you were a kid?
They got a little gravy in there. A little marinara.
Oh, yeah.
But what if it got on your little baby tank top?
It's okay.
Give him a breadstick to chew on.
Do you know I'm going to be at... You know what?
Pop me. Out of line, car, pop me.
I'm going to be at the Taste of Elmwood Park in a couple weeks. I'm judging the meatball eating contest.
I bet you are. Oh, yeah.
I swear to God.
Is it really a meatball eating?
And I'm like, you know, I love Elmwood Park. I love the food. I'm glad to be there saying hi to people. But I'm like, guys, you know, you're not for nothing. I could spread my wings a little. I mean, you know, the meatball eating contest.
Stick with what you know best.
Not on. I mean,
had that little pacifier that there was a flavor of garlic, didn't you?
What is your
garlic pacifier?
What is your strategy? How do you do it?
Well, I'm not participating. I'm judging.
You're judging.
Oh,
so
I thought you were just shoving meatballs in your mouth.
He is. He's judging. He's tasting. Right.
He's comfortable. He's comfortable with balls in his mouth.
Well, I don't know. I guess I am.
Two at a time. Or one at a time.
No, one at a time. One at a time. You got to be careful with those.
Of course you do. They're very delicate sometimes.
Choke, Carm.
Last thing you want is crumbling. I mean, it's not worse than a meatball start crumbling before you even get in your mouth. That's no good.
Do you sniff the balls before you lick them?
Well, they are aromatic. That's 100% for sure.
I got to go home now.
You guys are animals. Please.
No, you're talking about meatballs, Carm.
Yeah.
Listen, there's no way in the world you're going to put meatballs in your mouth without smelling to see exactly if it's giving you that kind of
smell. You feel them with your fingers.
I feel them with my fingers.
For the firmness and texture.
I've never once smelled the meatball before I've eaten it.
I check them for lumps.
That's good.
Well, yeah.
That's you good self-awareness right there.
What you're looking for is a sphere. You want a perfect sphere. You don't want have like an onion sticking out the side or a piece of garlic. You don't want that. What are you talking to?
Can you have this conversation?
I make an unbelievable meatball.
What is your secret ingredient?
I don't know that there's a secret. You should use beef, veal, and pork if you can. Some people have a problem with the veal aspect. Fine. I get it. Cut it out. You don't have to. Of course, you need a binder.
It's deliciousness.
The only thing I would say that is it's not a secret ingredient, but the key is a lot of cheese.
Yes.
And I mean a lot of cheese, yeah, because it helps really as they bake and as they...
You want them to be moist.
You want your meatballs moist.
Oregano, Romano,
Parmesan, and pecorino.
You don't want...
Pecorino.
Dry meatball.
You don't want a dry, hard meatball in your mouth.
A lot of cheese. That was my grandma used to always say. How much cheese, Grandma?
The gravy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
You put in...
Good gravy, Carl.
And then fresh parsley, fresh garlic.
We do have a discrepancy, though. As in for how to prepare the meatball.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
there's not one discrepancy ever.
No, there's a discrepancy.
There isn't.
You
have one weird friend. That
I got a guy, Dan Lagone,
in the sauce.
Hey, and the other guy's
to hear this.
Hey, the other guy's Pete Bartolomeo. I mean, you don't get more Italian.
Trust me.
This is from the Heights.
There's no discrepancy.
This is from Chicago Heights.
There's no discrepancy.
From the Heights, there's a lot of Italians.
You're going to set him off now.
Jerry Colangelo, okay? It's from the Heights, Italian. I don't know if you knew that. Italian.
My wife's aunt, Carol.
Yeah.
It's Gino's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She used to make the meatballs, and then she'd take a little bit of, you know, like raw, whatever it was.
Meat?
And
raw
she'd
what?
Eat it.
Oh.
Yeah, we used to watch her making meatballs
she
up in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's kebab. She wanted to taste it.
God, it was so gross. So she'd look at you and she'd just get, like, she knew she was freaking you out. Yeah. And she'd eat some raw meat. You'd be like, Carol.
When they're making the gravy, they put the meatballs in the gravy.
They don't baking or frying.
They don't bake
which
or fry.
Is,
which
I
is insane.
That.
Put it in the gravy. Yeah,
that's
I'm
wrong.
Telling
it's
you,
insanity.
Like, you gotta find me a chef that tells me that
you
can be done or it can't be done.
Then you put it in the sauce.
Yeah,
and what he said.
And then you vomit for the next 3 days. And then
you say, I'm saying you don't do that. These Italians have told me that you put the meatballs directly into the gravy.
Which is asinine. You have no texture on them.
You don't.
Nothing. It's the most asinine thing I've maybe ever heard in my life, especially coming from an Italian.
I'm telling you, Dan Lagone. I mean, he's Italian.
You get no texture on them.
This is another one of those. Hey, Carm, your portfolio's down 43% since last year. Hey, you know, you invest in the stock market. You're cooking the meatball in the sauce.
Unreal.
No texture.
Unreal.
Shut yourself out.
He said it to me, and I'm like, what? It's the dumbest
this is
thing
not
I've
the
ever
right way. I don't care where
and
it's
these
from.
Guys are older gentlemen. You know, they're 58, 59. They shake their heads.
Not
they go,
only
what's
does
Carmen
it not
doing?
Work, it'd make you sick.
I go, what part of Italy Carmen from? I don't know. You'd eventually cook it enough to cook it through. But
yes.
You want the drippings to come down and however you're cooking it to start, and then you want to add that to the gravy anyway. It makes absolutely zero sense to throw raw meatballs into marinara sauce.
When I do meatballs,
it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
When
in
I
my
do
life.
Meatballs, I cook my meatballs.
Of course
before
you
I do.
It. It's the only
they
way
to
do it.
I was doing it the wrong way. It's not. It's
you're
not,
not
what Carmen says.
No.
It's
trust me,
Carmen
you're not.
All right.
I promise
so
you.
So these guys are idiots. The guys
I'm not saying they're idiots, but it's beyond belief ridiculous.
As I told you. You're going to set him off.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Big event tonight.
I don't mind. He's proud Italian, you know?
You're going to set him off.
With that. I like
you're
getting
him upset.
You're
playing with fire right now with this meatball.
I like getting him upset.
I mean, can you imagine
the
this
passion.
Day and age?
Let him get back to his calculus talk here
that
we had earlier.
Now, so what is your strategy going to be for tasting to not be too full
you
so you can enjoy the last one as much as you enjoy the first one?
He's a spinner.
Oh, are you? Like,
no. You're a spinner?
Kind of like the
you can't eat the whole thing. Yeah, you got a little barf bag next to you that you just kind of chuck it out.
Yurko
right
and I have judged ribbon eating contests.
Yep.
Let's say they put six or in front of you. You really can only have one or two. That's all you need because you got to move on to the next. I've done chili eating contests where we had to try like 22 different chilies.
I just do it from the men's room, just sit on a
Carmen,
bowl.
Carmen beat me in the chili cook-off. You know that?
Well, that was the
Carmen,
cook-off.
Yeah, the chili cook-off, Carmen beat me.
But we've done like, you've got to pace yourself. So you can't eat the whole meatball.
Yeah,
you have to take like two bites. That should be enough.
Two bites of a ball.
How many balls do you think you'll end up consuming?
Well, 40, 50.
No, I don't think that many. I don't know what they're going to have.
You kidding me? It depends upon the size, you know?
No. You probably, maybe you have a dozen restaurants.
But
I don't know.
There's different size balls. I mean, there's different size meatballs, yeah.
Well, but I'm saying you can only take like two bites.
I got you.
So that you can get through all of them. Because Sylvie's right.
You got to give them a fair shake.
Everybody gets a fair shake. And if you're full or your stomach's upset by the end, that's not fair to the balls that you tried.
Yeah, you
got
to be fair to all the balls.
Does Merkin steal meatballs from local Italian restaurants instead of making his own?
Yeah. He's selling books tonight, by the way, at Spirits.
Is he?
Yeah.
I gave him the idea.
Yeah, come on.
That's a good idea.
So why not come back?
Books?
Why don't you come on down to Piggyback?
Are they still at the full price? Are they still at the full price?
Yeah. He's not giving them away right now.
What are we at now in terms of how many we sold?
We always
because there was a number, right?
We didn't count the 20 that were returned.
We wanted to get
why
to
would
a
you
thousand.
Return them?
We
yeah,
wanted to get
where
to a
you
thousand.
At?
I don't know.
Jerk.
Last time I checked with him, he was at like 700, I think.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. It's very good.
Where are you going to be tonight, good kid?
Oh, I'm not going to be anywhere. I got bocce ball tonight, our bar, 7:30. Nice. Big match tonight. Big match. I think we're 16-6.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're doing okay.
Doing all right.
Playoffs are coming down the pipeline here in the month of August. I'm very nervous.
I love this guy.
Yeah,
playing bocce ball.
Are you a better bocce ball player or golfer?
I am a better bocce ball player than I am a golfer. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Rolling balls
listen,
or hitting balls?
My handicap's down. My index is down to a 16.5.
Good.
So, you know, down from a 19.1. So I'm
good.
Getting better on the
progress.
Course. I'm chipping better. Right. But I'm truly a professional. I've been invited to go to Canada to play bocce ball. But I'm vaccinated, too. So I can go to Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my partner. You
unlike
ready?
Others.
Here's
you know.
My partner. He's going to play golf in Vegas. In October, he's going back to Pinehurst.
Yeah,
he's planning a trip to St. Andrews now.
Johnny, 2025.
Hold on. 2025, Carm.
Okay.
I've done the life where you had the little kids like you guys have had.
I've
done that.
He's been through hell and back with the first, right?
Well,
With the first child?
No, I was going to say that.
Oh, no. That's called the mutual, you know, parting of the ways. Right. That's what that's called.
Okay. Yeah.
The mutual parting of the ways. That's it. Everybody is fine. Everybody is good.
Good time,
Johnny. Everybody
Johnny's
is
back.
Better for the wear.
Will you propose on one of these trips?
No, stop it.
Propose to what?
To his golf
trip. These are many trips.
He's caddy. Have
you ever been on a golf trip?
He'll take one knee in front of dirt and go,
dirt.
Is there any chance you would like to spend the rest of your life with me, Dirt?
Hey, Joey Zutkowski.
Yeah, what do you think, Max? Digger, what do you think?
He's good. He's good. What are you talking about?
The girlfriend's not coming with?
What the hell are you talking about?
St. Andrews.
Men's only?
Yes, of course it is. Well, you know what golf stands for? Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
That's not what golf
100% that's what it stands
where
for.
Where are we now?
100%. Aggie and Dion are going to have
you've never heard that before.
Women are not allowed on the golf trip.
Now, I will tell you, that's an antiquated thought.
Yeah, you think?
Really?
That's an antiquated thought.
I was shocked by how Waddle jumped on that. Hey. Waddle was like, yeah, you can't go to St. Andrews.
So one of the think he's going on a golf trip with 12 guys and their spouses?
Well, yeah, no, I don't think that's I don't think it's common.
St. Andrews is like a...
Doesn't make a difference.
That's a special place in the world, is it not?
For golfers?
Yeah, but that's for golfers.
Yeah.
I don't... Maybe his girlfriend golfs. I don't know.
You're a lunatic. Yeah, I mean, what are you doing here today, now? I mean, we another free shirt on. What are you doing?
How many free shirts do you wear every week?
What's going on?
I've got an obvious shirt
That's
on.
All you guys do is walk around with free shirts.
It's a free shirt. It says
hey, try paying
it.
For something every once in a while.
I'm paying for
plenty of shirts. All right, now, I got to tell you the story. If you guys would be so kind, I'd like to tell the story.
Yes.
One of the first golf courses I ever played was Pheasant Valley in Crown Point. No longer in existence. Tom
what
Watson set the course record.
Really?
Scorecard was up on the, you know, in the pro shop.
Wow.
Big scorecard. So we go out and we play the Valley all the time. They had a sign out front giving you the rules of play. And on the sign.
Oh,
and now this is 1985.
Oh, God.
1985.
Bears.
All right?
Good Lord.
All I'm doing is telling a story. I don't adopt a philosophy. All okay?
Right.
Okay. And he goes, ladies, please play after one.
That was the only rule posted.
What
it was
rule
number one.
What happened to the course, Johnny?
It was rule number one.
What happened to the course?
Out of business. The land it was built on was worth more for what's the word we're looking for? For real estate. Yeah, for real estate and stuff like that. Yes, development. Absolutely. Yeah, it was an old course. Built a long time ago.
Some really old thoughts.
Couldn't withstand the changes of time.
Right.
You know, it was great for a course way back when, but it wasn't up to date nowadays. So they decided to opt out and just say the hell with it.
I want to tag along for the St. Andrews trip.
I'm taking my brother and my dad over there at some point. Yeah, we were going to do it this year, but then my dad had something.
Only man, my dad, my brother.
My wife doesn't want to go. What would she want to do? She doesn't want to go to St. Andrews and play golf.
Dude, do you know the weather's miserable even in the summer up there?
Yes. You know what? They've had a record-breaking heat wave there recently.
Well, you know what? And the record-breaking heat waves.
In general, the weather, it's nothing. Yeah. I've been to that part of the world in the summer, and it's...
It's no different than my wife getting together with all her friends and going to the...
Tennis camp?
To the tennis camp.
Where is she right now?
She's in Boston. You know she's on her way to the Cape.
She's
going to the Cape with all of her college friends.
All the BC girls?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, can you share the story of the person walking by?
The woman walked by yesterday a couple of times. She was
three
walking dogs. She walked by three times yesterday. We couldn't help but notice she kept peering into the studio. I don't know, looking at dying up the
she's
good
kids. She's only
human.
No.
She's got some Lululemons on, like she had just gotten out of an exercise or a yoga class.
Yeah. They wear that all day. Yeah,
all day. You see it all the time.
She walked by three times yesterday.
With the same dogs?
One time she had two dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, she had two dogs back and forth, and then the third time she just came by for a gander.
Sans dog. I think
she rode
was
her
by
bike by yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah. She just walked by again today.
And then check out what Yurko did.
She was pushing a baby. What did you do?
She looked in the studio, and we saw her, and then Yurko started clapping.
Where is that on the moves list?
At the top. It's right next to the thing that says women play after one.
Right.
Where is that?
And she smiled. And then I gave her a little fist pump, like, yes, thank you. You are a lovely young lady. Yeah. We acknowledge it. Yeah. And now let's go
on with the rest of our lives. Would you like to go to Pinehurst for a golf trip?
Nope. Women don't go on golf trips.
That's not true.
And if they do, they go with just women.
No,
they don't go with men.
Today's different.
No, it's not different.
There are women who play golf.
Listen, if guys go with their wives and or girlfriends on a golf trip, they're not having the time of their lives. I promise you that. They are not having the time of their
lives.
Listen,
all I can tell you is my wife didn't invite me to the Cliff Drysdale tennis camp in Miami.
Right.
Exactly.
All the girls. No, that's not happening.
Listen, there are such a thing.
Guys trips and ladies trips. Yeah.
Well, and then sometimes you go on trips together.
Of course.
That's right. If I was going to generalize, though, that all golf trips have to be men only.
It's sort of sexist.
When was the last time?
Well, I can only speak from experience.
Well, you're guys.
I speak from experience. Every golf trip I've ever been on has been a guy's only trip.
I've never talked to anybody, none of my friends, about going on a couple's golf trip, ever.
No. I'm not saying that you're planning. I'm saying that women do go on golf trips with some husbands.
With women.
No. Don't Pat and Mary Boyle go on trips and golf together?
I wouldn't be able to tell you. I don't know.
Are you sure they do?
They play with each other.
Well, I bet they do.
I'm sure. Yeah, golf.
Is Mary a golfer?
She is.
Okay.
Well, that's not a golf trip. I'm saying, yes, the ones who play golf, that's not a golf trip.
They're on vacation.
And they happen to play golf. Am I out on a limb, really?
Well, you're not a golfer.
So his Johnny's golf trip to Pinehurst, they're playing 36 holes a day.
Like, it's specifically for the guys to get together to go play golf. It would be odd if, like, one person brought a spouse or a significant other. It would seem kind of out of place. I'm not saying just one.
Yeah, that would definitely put a little rank. I don't know.
I bet you, though, that there are plenty of couples who go on trips and
they're golf trips. 332-3776.
I'm not suggesting they don't, but when Johnny goes out, and that was the essence when you go on a golf trip with your buddies.
Yes.
Usually it's a golf trip with your buddies.
I have played golf with a woman before.
Do Mary and Pat Boyle go with big groups? I don't know.
I'm not talking big or small.
The two of them might just go on vacation and they play golf together. That's great.
Different.
I mean, that's fine. But I don't know if they're planning like big golf trips.
I mean, you're not going to Bandon Dunes as couples. I'm not talking about your specific.
I'm just saying to just limit all golf trips to be men only seems to me... I bet there's a 16 person trip,
8 person trip. You've gone to Myrtle Beach, you've gone to Pinehurst, you've gone to Stream Song, you've gone up to Sandy Hills or Sandy Dunes or whatever the hell it is.
Doesn't Peggy go on golf trips with her husband?
312-332-3776 if you've gone on a couple's trip like that.
332-3776.
You won't see one line light up. Not one line. I bet there's a couples group
that will go to play tennis, but like my wife's not going on that one. My wife's going on a tennis trip with women.
Mm-hmm. With the ladies.
It's not an odd, like that's not an odd concept to me. Like
and
I'm not sitting
and
around
an instructor
going,
though, right, Waddle?
Well, there's plenty of young instructors there, Jeffrey.
I'm not saying it's odd to go on a guy's or women's trip. I'm saying it's odd to say that everyone does it that way.
That's what I'm saying. That's fine.
You could choose. I'm waiting. You got calls coming in.
Yeah, but nobody wants to talk about it.
No, that's not true.
My wife made me go on a trip.
We're in like a 45-second delay.
Worst time of my life.
Abdallah. Oh, no, it's not Adam Abdallah. Oh, I thought it was Adam Abdallah calling in.
We'll tell you. And then Billy Corgan's going to join the show, talk about his benefit for Highland Park.
That's wonderful.
He's doing a fundraiser for Highland Park. His cafe, Zuzu Cafe, Madam Zuzu's Tea Shop. It used to be in the Ravinia area. They are now in downtown Highland Park, right near where the shooting was. They were closed. He's going to be doing a benefit concert at the tea shop to raise money where you can watch virtually on their YouTube page.
That's great.
Yeah,
Billy.
Billy is not only a business owner in Highland Park, he's a resident. Billy has lived in Highland Park, I want to say, for a couple decades now.
All right, that'll be great to hear what he has to say about it. Good for Billy. And I always like it when he comes on with you guys, too. I love Billy.
Absolutely,
We love Smash.
Very talented. Wrestling fan, too. Just
you want me to take Abdallah? Abdallah.
Not Adam.
Hello. Hey, Abdallah.
This is Abdallah. How's it going, guys?
Abdallah, give me a couple.
Black.
Go ahead.
You're black.
Hey, guys, I was just calling to just say that me and my buddies did take the wives to Vegas with us on a golf trip. We went out to shows with them after the golfing happened.
That's not a golf trip.
That's not a golf trip. That's a trip to Vegas where you and your buddy go play golf.
Exactly.
No, but we go on golf trips all the time. But the only way we're going to be able to go to Vegas was with chaperones, I guess.
Okay, but still, like to me, and I get what you're saying, Abdal, but that is you and your buddies and your significant others going to Vegas, which I'll be doing in a month, which is awesome. And during the day, a couple times, you guys went and played golf. And then you got together at night
for
all the other fun stuff.
So this is different than a golf trip. This is a trip with some side golf.
And you take your golf clubs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the main focus of the trip was we went there for golf.
What was the best course you played?
The best, we played TPC Vegas. Which
Summerlin or Badlands?
Oh, man, that was a couple of years ago. I can't even tell you.
God, I haven't played in Vegas for over 10 years.
Hey, thanks, Abdal. Yurko's going to play. Well, you said you're playing all the good ones, too.
Cascada.
Is that
That's beauty. Oh,
I've never played golf in Vegas. You know that?
Really?
Never.
I think I've only played one time.
I played Rio Seca. I played a course that's not there anymore.
I don't want to play golf in Vegas.
Do you know the nicest place I played golf in?
The nicest state?
Yes.
That you've played
Florida.
Golf?
Florida. The most scenic. Back in the day.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Missouri.
Somewhere in Arizona, like when you were out of spring training?
You're close. It's Salt Lake City.
Oh, Salt Lake City.
For the Bulls in 97, it was Cap, it was me, it was Dick Versace.
Oh, my God.
Playing golf, a golf trip.
Not a golf trip, but it was a Bulls trip, and we played golf. Like, the mountains right around you. It was incredible.
Beautiful.
I'm sure. A point of clarity. I'm not saying that women can't play golf like they're not talented.
Of course
there was never the conversation. Very talented golfers out there.
Peggy Kaczynski's one of them.
Point of clarity, just so I don't get my chops busted around here.
Well, that's not what anybody was suggesting.
I understand, but people hear what they want to hear.
Peggy's
and I'm putting the disclaimer out there right now. We also had the young girl that played with us, playing on the Illinois golf team.
Carol's a good player, too.
Yeah. She played in college, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Peggy's so good. Peggy reads, ask Waddle. She's like Bones McKay. She didn't misread a single green. It was unfreaking believable watching her.
What are you doing?
I got to take up another thing with you tomorrow. We'll do about the Bears.
I'm going to take up something with you, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you are going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be here.
We're not crosstalking. We're crosstalking.
They're 7 to 10.
I want to talk. We're going to be hot and heavy on the Bears today.
Right,
I also want to bring up some Juan Soto conversation. And here's a question for you. Should your White Sox be in?
I was talking about it today. I listen to you guys a lot, spend a lot of the 3 o'clock hour. That's why
I
went down that
rabbit hole. I appreciate the support.
We talked about it today about Soto. Absolutely.
All right, so we'll get into all that. Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, one of my favorite musicians of all time, will join us for a great cause to raise funds for Highland Park.
All right, boys. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, Yurko and I are on early tomorrow, 7 to 10. Hoodie will do our show. Waddle and Sylvie get you home next, and we'll see you at Spears Bourbon and Burgers in Wheeling tonight for Whiskey with Sagamore Spirit.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Probably seen the Pumpkins 15 times. Billy Corgan will be joining us here shortly about his benefit concert.
Is that the group that you've seen most?
No, probably
in person?
Probably they're number two.
Counting Crows?
My top three probably are Counting Crows, Smashing Pumpkins, and U2. I've seen U2 close to double digits.
Wow, you used to go to a lot of concerts.
Yeah. I mean, I was single for a long time, too. But yes, I love seeing great shows. Still do. I saw the Pumpkins second to last show. And then they got back together at the United Center. Then they closed out the first run at Metro. I've seen them at Metro. That was the coolest place to see them. I've seen them at the Aragon Theater. I've seen them at the Riv. I'm trying to think where else. If I've seen them in a stadium or outdoor venue. But over and over again.
For me, they are definitely the band that I've seen the most. Saw my first. I think they were the first concert that I saw out at the old... New World Music Theater back in the day. I don't know what it's being called these days. I went to...
It's a great question because it's changed like five times, hasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. I can't remember anymore. I've seen them in Vegas.
I've seen them across the street at Chicago Theater. I've
seen them in San Diego. Yes. Always put on a great show.
I wonder what their favorite place to play is.
It's a good question for him. I bet you Metro was up there. Metro and it's still going on, I think. Right across from Wrigley Field. It's like 1,100. It's 1,000. Maybe a little below. I've seen them multiple.
Is that the best place to see a concert? I haven't gone to a ton of concerts in recent years.
It's all standing. It's just a small venue. It's just like seeing, you know how you've seen good country shows at Joe's, right?
Yeah.
This is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So let's
very intimate.
Let's bring him in. I want to tell everybody the details on this, and Billy can tell us more. He is a friend of the show. He's been on with us recently talking some Chicago sports. They're back on tour. They're coming back to the United Center in November. Can't wait to see them again. The last time I've seen them at the United Center, it was probably the best show I've seen from them. But Billy is putting together a benefit concert for the Community Foundation of the July 4th Victims Response Fund. It's with Billy, it's with Jimmy Chamberlain, special guests. It's a week from today at 7 o'clock. This is July 27th. He's going to be doing it from his cafe in Highland Park, which was not far from where the shooting took place. And I wanted to make sure we can get this on so we could have all of our, the Waddle and Sylvie, the power of the Waddle and Sylvie fan to help donate, to watch on the Smashing Pumpkins YouTube channel. Billy Corgan joins Waddle and Sylvie right now. Hi, Billy.
Hello, my friends.
What is this last 2 to 3 weeks been like for you as a Highland Park resident and business owner?
It's been difficult. You know, our business is one block away from where this happened. We were closed down for about 5-6 days by the FBI. And, of course, it gave us a minute to reflect. And when we opened the business back up, you know, I wasn't sure anybody was going to come to Highland Park, you know, and there were concerns, you know, were they going to support the local businesses? The community support, and I'm talking about the greater Chicago community support, has been incredible. People are so supportive, and they're very supportive of the idea of this charity concert that we're holding. It's really touched my heart, but certainly the most difficult part is meeting so many people that we know and so many people we don't know who were there. You know, I met a gentleman the other day who had a one-year-old kid in his arms and had a run for his life. I mean, when you hear these stories, I know there was the story about the father who had to put his kid in a dumpster. I'm pretty sure, I can't say 100% for sure, but I'm pretty sure that was our dumpster that he put his kid in. Mm. That shows you how close we were to this whole madness. And there's so many emotions. It helps to want to do something and to focus on the positive, which is wanting to help. But in between that, you hit those moments of like, wow, this is really, really tough to navigate.
And not surprised at all to hear that people want to find a way to help, right, Billy? I mean, you live in a community where there's a tight-knit group of people.
Yeah, you know, the amazing thing about this community is it was really founded, you know, in the 20th century, was founded by a lot of people who left Chicago, mostly Jewish population, who felt they were being oppressed at that time in obviously a different world. And they came up here and built this city sort of based on the idea that together they could have a degree of safety and comfort. So this community is highly sensitive to issues of oppression, of violence, of those types of things. And it's a very liberal, progressive community, very focused on issues that are plaguing, of course, the south side of Chicago. Gun violence is a big issue in this community. So for this kind of double whammy to hit this community, where this community is now at the epicenter of this debate, our mayor and our friend Nancy Rotering was on Capitol Hill today testifying. It's pretty crazy. And so I think maybe the one silver lining out of all of this is going to be that I think Highland Park can really help change the nature of this debate going forward, because there are a lot of people here with the intellect, the depth of understanding, the political and social nuance, and of course the capital to maybe affect change. So it'll be very interesting. This may end up being the great legacy of Highland Park, that Highland Park took something that was so tragic and so damaging to this community and made it, you know, something that really was a positive change for everybody.
Our friend Billy Corgan joining us from the Smashing Pumpkins. He's got a benefit concert next week on the 27th to raise money for the Highland Park Fund after the shooting on the 4th of July. And we'll give you details and everything on that here in a minute. Billy, you know, we have kids similar ages. I think mine's a few years older than yours. And I know that you, when you're a dad, you see the world differently. How has things changed for you? You've always been a thoughtful guy to begin with, but now seeing it through the lens of kids and how you feel about raising your kids in environments like this.
Well, you know, the first question we had to ask ourselves was whether or not we wanted our children to know. Our children are 6 and 3, and so we made the decision not to tell them. And it's really, really difficult because our kids are asking questions. I mean, they see memorials, they see people in the community, they want to know what's going on. It's very hard to have to lie to my children and not tell them, but I just feel they're not ready to hear this, because when the day comes, and it'll come soon, when we have to have that conversation, it's going to be a very, very tough conversation. I was talking to a father the other day who has a 7-year-old daughter, and they were in the shooting. Thankfully, they weren't injured. But he was talking about the trauma his daughter is going through, and I cannot even begin to imagine the conversations, the difficulties, the challenges that they have ahead of them. Because, you know, as a parent, what we want to do is we want to keep that part of adulthood as far away from them as possible until it's time. And to have to deal with those issues at such a young age, in this gentleman's case, 7-year-old, my son's being 6, I'm not ready to have that conversation, but we're going to have it soon.
You know what blew my mind, Billy, and my kids go to the Deerfield schools, is that they go through drills now in, like, well, I have a 3rd grader and a 1st grader soon to be, and they go through drills where they have to, you know, we used to go through the fire drill. We used to go through the tornado drill. Now they go through, hey, a lockdown drill, and they call it the big bad wolf. And to me, to process that, when I found out about that after the shoot, I didn't know about that until after the shooting. It just absolutely, it blew my brain.
Well, when I was a kid, we used to do duck and cover because the Russians were going to blow us up and we were going to hide under our desks, just to tell a little joke. But, my nieces in Florida, they were 3 miles away from the Parkland shooting. They're basically the next school over. And they were telling me they do these drills all the time. It's crazy, crazy that we live in a country so incredibly wealthy, progressive, and smart as America can be when it needs to be, that we are sort of normalized into this level of like, well, yeah, we just have to do this because, you know, there's a possibility. And just the fact that there's a possibility anywhere in this country at any given time, it's easy to sit when you're at a distance and sort of have your opinions on these things. When it's up close like it is here with us in Highland Park, you really feel it, and you know the change is coming. It's just a question now of when, not if.
And Billy, when did you decide that this was what you wanted to do to help give back to the community and help to be an agent for healing as well?
Well, you know, you find yourself at a loss for words, right? And then you start thinking, well, what can I do? And I think the greater message of Highland Park is important to me. I think how this community needs to heal is important to me. Just to give you a quick number, the community started offering right after the shootings free mental health care at the local high school. The last number I heard, which was about a week ago, was 1,200 people a day were going for free mental health services. That's just a mind-blowing number.
Yeah.
When you think of all the therapists who are donating their time coming up here to help, because obviously we don't have that many people in the community to deal with that level of mental health crisis. The legacy of this thing has a really, really long tail. So for me, it was like, not so much a turn the page thing, but like, let's try to do something positive that people can feel good about. And you know, the one thing Jimmy Chamberlain from the Pumpkins and I can do, we can reach that global audience. And we feel it's important to take that message to the world and say, look, if this moves you, if this is important to you, if you just feel human empathy, heck, in the world we live in, if you just want to share, to share a link. It's all very meaningful. So we felt that this was the right thing to do. And as Jimmy Chamberlain said to me, he's like, well, we're only really good at music, right? You know what I mean? It's like, that's what we're good at. So we should probably stick to that.
But is it, and I'm sure you know this, like your role as a musician, your role with that global reach, like throughout, whether it's a battle, like I had a battle with cancer 2 years ago, and you listen to your favorite songs to put your mind in a better place, whether you just got dumped, like the power of healing through music is incredible, is it not?
Yes, and I also think it's really good for unifying. One thing I'm very sensitive to right now is, and because I have lived in the, let's call it the media eye of the storm for over 30 years, I've watched, of course, you know, both in the middle of it at times and from the sidelines as this country has gotten more and more and more divided. I think this is one of those issues where we have to find unity. We just have to, even if it's just for our kids, we have to find unity. The fact that we can accept these things is just beyond me. So I love the idea here of unity, music bringing unity, bringing people together to want to be motivated to do something. What we do with that is of course, politics, right? But the step before that, let's just get all on the same page and agree that we need to do something collectively. The fact that this stuff gets so political so quickly, it's really hard to deal with. When literally, as I was watching the politics of that day unfold, you know, 1 mile away from the shooting, I'm getting, you know, as I'm watching that on, you know, whatever network I was watching at the given moment, then the next day I'm getting a message from somebody that I know of so-and-so just survived and the bullet just missed their head. And, you know, you're just like, how do I put these two pieces together? The hyper partisan political atmosphere of America, which is kind of turns this thing into kind of a, you know, kind of like, you know, what do we say, armchair quarterbacking?
Yeah.
And then the on the ground, like, oh, my God, this community is, like, reeling. Like, I can't even begin to think about anything that divides anybody right now. I just want people to come together. It's very important to point out, you know, that the people who were murdered that day, you know, they represent Highland Park. It was a diverse group of people. This is a very diverse community. And this is a community very, very focused on what's going on the South Side. You know, this is not just a kind of a one-way street. This is a community that really does care about those issues. So that's what I mean about the double whammy. I mean, this is a community that it's not like some people say, oh, you know, now you care because it happened to you. No, this is a community that cared long before this, which is why I think I hope the story of this is going to be that Highland Park is going to come together as a community and speak with a greater voice and really affect change at the national and international level.
Billy, with you being as accomplished as you are and being in the epicenter of this situation, have any of your colleagues in the music industry reached out to you and asked how they can help with this as well?
A few people have. I think people really grapple with this. I was surprised, you know, it's a little bit like when someone passes away or something. I was surprised by the diversity of reactions. Some people didn't even text me at all, and I was like, I thought that was kind of strange, you know? So a week later, I talked to a few friends, and I said, did you hear what happened here? And one person was like, oh, yeah, but I didn't want to bother you, which was weird, but I understand. Some of my friends didn't even know that it had happened because they just don't follow the media. And other people were like, oh, I didn't even know you lived there where it happened. They didn't put those pieces together. So it's hard to explain in real time, but when you're in the middle of it, it's pretty intense. And thank God we weren't there. I mean, we would have been there if not for my family being on an international flight that day.
Hmm.
So we're kind of in this weird spot where we're part of it. Our tea house was in a literally shut down and in the crime scene. We're one block away. I was watching clips that day of people fleeing for their lives, and I'm like, well, there's my tea house. You know what I mean? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're also blessed that we weren't part of it, that we didn't have to be part of that trauma, because hearing the stories, they're just so hard to stomach, and it's so horrifying.
Yeah, Billy Corgan for another minute. All right, so the concert is July 27th. It's at your tea shop, Madame Zuzu's in Highland Park. But this is live streamed on the Smashing Pumpkins YouTube page. And then it is there where we can all help and click on a link to donate?
Yeah, totally free. We just want people to participate. You know, I mean, we understand it's hard times right now. We all know what we're paying, you know, at the pump for gas and stuff like that, right? So there's no expectation. Listen, just watching is important. Sharing is important. Letting people know if you're interested, letting people know. And if you can donate, if you can find it in your heart, that means a lot, too. We also have merchandise that people are buying to be supportive. So there's lots of different ways. And, and it's just going to be a fun night. And we have such a diverse group of people. If you're Lollapalooza headlining band, Bob Moses has agreed to appear, which is fantastic, this great young band. Perry Farrell just confirmed to Jane's Addiction because he's going to be here in town for Lollapalooza. Perry's been a friend of mine for over 30 years. Of course, Jimmy Chamberlain from the Pumpkins is involved, and I'm sure we'll play a few classics. So we just want to have a great time, and I'm sure there'll be a few misty eyes, but we also want to have a couple laughs and just kind of bring some joy to everybody right now.
Waddle wanted to know this, because we're staring at the Chicago Theater, and I was reminiscing of all the different venues I've seen you play. What's your favorite Chicago venue?
You know what? If you said you got one place to pick and you got to make it count, I would pick the Aragon.
The Aragon Ballroom.
It's a car crash in there sometimes, but man, you get the right show in there, you can light it up in there. But let me say this. There's that old joke in the music business. Hey, man, you sold out. And I'm like, yeah, I sold out the United Center, right? So, trust me, I'm more than happy to play the United Center, and I hope everyone comes to see us, Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction. That's going to be a great show.
I can't wait.
And to be 55 years old and still playing arenas, trust me, it's a great honor. I saw the Bulls win championships there, so I'm more than happy to play that building.
I think it's really cool, and I think Sylvie and I agree on this, 100%. It's really cool that you are doing something for the community that you love, and taking time to give back to the people that really need something right now. So it's very cool, Billy, that you're doing this, for sure.
Thank you. I always appreciate you guys' support. Thank you.
We appreciate you, and all the best. We'll be watching next week, okay?
Okay, awesome. Talk soon. Thank you.
Thanks,
you
Billy.
Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. He's a legend in my book.
That's really cool how they're
going
to do this.
I love him. I love his evolution. I don't think they've ever sounded better. I think he's really, really comfortable with where he is as a dad. And
I think it's a cool concept, too. They're going to play a live show from his place. It's going to be free to you,
mm-hmm.
And if you feel compelled to give to a cause that is
right.
obviously you very important.
Put it on your big screen on the YouTube app, you know what I mean? And enjoy the concert, and then there will be a link, and if you want to, you could donate.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's next, it's a week from today, July 27th. All right, Waddle and I back. We've got Waddle's list coming up on the Bears. We'll set the table. Some more Soto talk today. Not soda, so dough. And Michael Wilbon is going to join us at 5 o'clock.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's a good reaction inside the Twitch chat. And Twitter to the Billy Corgan interview. And you turned to me, and again, instead of like getting into your corner and arguing on how we're going to get this done, it was sort of the approach we took, the day after when we were on that, look, instead of fighting, let's find a way to agree that all this has to end wherever it is in the country. And let's come together and at least have a dialogue and not fight with each other.
I think it's a good message. Civility.
People reminiscing, and I got to get you to a show at the Aragon Ballroom. We'll be the two old guys out there. But I used to waiting outside in that line.
I don't think I've been to like any small arenas here in Chicago for concerts. I don't believe I have.
And like it's no seating. Like it's all standing basically. And it's really cool architecture. I think they have some opera boxes. I don't even know if they use it. It's been so long since I've been there. There's one guy in the Twitch chat, Northbrook to Vegas, says his first concert at the Aragon Ballroom was Journey in 1977. Lil Kev said his first concert was at the Aragon Ballroom. He saw Smash Mouth.
Oh, really?
Like, I've seen the Counting Crows there. I've seen the Pumpkins there multiple times. It's for good or bad, it's a distinct, unique Chicago venue.
How many people are in there?
I got to look it up. My guess is between three to five thousand. Am I shooting high there? It's been so long when it's standing. Tyler, can you look that up for me? Capacity of the Aragon Ballroom. Few thousand. Not big.
5,000 is the number.
Yeah. So I was basically in the ballpark there, 3 to 5. And you get wall to wall, and the bar's in the back. You get your wristband that you're over so you can get in line to pay for beer. Beer's flowing. It's like a cafeteria line.
The Vic holds 1,000.
Yes.
Congress Theater holds 3,500.
That's where the
Riviera is 2,500.
Right. We've got like multiple different concert venues like that. Where there's anywhere from, find out the Metro. Is the Metro like 800 or 900, maybe a grand? But good stuff from Billy, and we'll tweet out how you can watch his
1100.
Concert.
1,100.
1,100.
1,100 people.
All right, coming up next, Waddle's List. A lot of Bears talk on the table, too, and the Justin Fields convo continues. We're coming to that right next.